Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
You get to talk about what I damn well want you to talk about. JD, don't come in here and hang me out.
Nobody wants to hear about the NBA schedule. It's boring.
That's fine. There's other good stuff to talk about. Like, we can talk about the dynasty being over. This team's done.
Nobody wants to hear about that.
Well, the Warriors?
Been there, done
that. Oh, jeez. Hey, Brandon Crawford. Home run last night. 2-1, Giants. Like,
now, that was
now,
cool.
You were not on the thread last night.
No,
you pick your spots. I've noticed on the thread,
I do.
I would have thought last night would have been the kind of game where you would have been. Here they are. Here they come. Da da da. And there you were, crickets last night. And even I said, "Huh, maybe they got a little of the magic going."
I have a Gabe Kapler level of being calculated when it comes to.
Now, that sounds phony. I don't consider you a phony.
No, I'm actually far too real.
Yeah. So
especially right now.
No, yeah, you are. But we're gonna have a fun time today. Absolutely fun time today. Brandon Crawford, obviously a 2-run walk off home run. And I do like I know I didn't really get into it with Willard, and it wasn't that you can't enjoy a game that's 1-0. It's not so much about a pitcher's duel. It's just that I was, you know, got off the golf course, checking the score, looking at this, looking at that, looking at the other thing, seeing the Giants are down 1-0 to the Diamondbacks, and obviously they're in trouble. Then they win, and they're so the ending was great, but it wasn't a great night if you're a Giants fan for the first 8.5.
Well, it reminded me of 2021. And I know there's been a handful of games that have reminded us of all of the magic. I think you put magic in the thread last night, which at that point, I think I decided I'm not even going to reply. But it did feel like 2021. To your point, though, Steiny, there were a lot of games last year, and I've said this, there were a lot of games last year that were like last night that weren't great games, or that the Giants didn't necessarily play well or hit well in, but then they'd win them.
Right.
And they would turn into these awesome experiences, and I think along the line of Brandon Crawford's wife and the kids are watching, and that just
right.
It really hit me how reminiscent it was of 2021. Not in the all right, they're in it, or they're not in it, they're making a run, whatever, five in a row, walk off, but just that it felt like the total experience was 2021-esque, at least for one night.
Well, you and I talk about these kind of games for the Warriors. They especially when they were really good, they had them. And I don't think I'm dropping dimes here, but it's a kind of game that would be a little bit annoying, where the Warriors would play somebody. This is when they were really good. They play somebody who's not nearly as good, and they'd mess around for 2.5, 3 quarters and get down maybe 9 or 11, and then they'd win the game late.
Sure.
But it would be against the Orlando Magic. But they would win it late, and they would make threes, and it was all exciting. But then you realize, you know what? They beat the Diamondbacks last night.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or yeah, they beat the Hawks, the Warriors. Of course they should have beaten the Hawks. Why were they down 15 at the start of the fourth quarter anyway? But that's... You need some of those games, I guess.
You do, and to that point, I mean, the Giants hadn't been able to beat the Diamondbacks to the level that they've really needed to beat the Diamondbacks this year. I think even with last night, they still don't have a winning record against the Diamondbacks overall. I think Diamondbacks are 6-5 through 11 with still some games to go. I may be off on that. Irrelevant at this point. But the thing that you have to like if you're the Giants right now, and this is what I do mention to you a lot, I think a lot of the times those games are worth more than one. And
last night,
yeah.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is you win a game
right.
where you're going to lose to a guy that's handled you, Merrill Kelly, for whatever reason, he's all time great against the Giants. But you win that game, and now you got Rodon and Webb going the next two against a weakling team.
Gotcha.
So I think there are ramifications. I think it's a gut punch to the Diamondbacks, who've had some success against the Giants. But now you got your best two starters going and a chance to go for the four-game sweep and keep building. You keep stacking those wins. I've already seen somebody losing. The Phillies lose, and we'll see what the Padres do coming up later. And
well, I think that's where I thought you were going to go, JD, was the Padres had already lost. And it looked like, okay, Giants, we're not gonna be able to pick up on the Padres because we're gonna lose this game. And then boom, you win
it. It's a gut.
Before you even play the next day, Phillies lost.
Right.
And I get it. Phillies not really in their mirror yet, let's say, like the Padres are, but no, you're right. I think what are they, 3.5 right now?
4.5.
Three in the loss column, though, I believe.
Yeah.
Against the Padres.
I believe so. And they got the head-to-head. We laid that out yesterday.
Right.
No need to do that again. Padres and Giants, including the final three of the regular season. So, I mean, they're in it now.
Sure.
Like, they're in it. And that's not even really the question. But last night, I think, hinted more at, is there something special potentially starting to happen again?
Yeah, and I'm... While I think they're in it, and I didn't think they were out of it at any point this year, just because baseball is such a long, long season, I'm still not... Like, baseball, to me, you have some of these wins kind of built into a season. You come from behind here and there. Now, they've, they've done it, what, twice in the last five... And then they've done it twice now during their five-game winning streak. They still got a ways to go, but I do like the schedule, how it shakes out for them, where they've got, to me, it's perfect. You've got teams that you're going to play against who aren't very good, but then there's going to be teams you got to play against you're going to have to beat. Like, you don't want to be done with the Padres. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a firm believer in that. You have to play against those teams to give yourself the best shot to do it. And to me, the Giants are kind of sitting pretty for a team that's behind the Padres, because I feel like they can catch up to the Padres, then they start playing the Padres. And they might be able to play them in more of an even ground situation than, okay, we're down 4 to the Padres, so we got to win 3 out of 4 here. We got to win 2 out of 3. Might not be that way.
Well, and I'm a big believer in teams, especially teams of the Giants' ilk, that start making hay against bad teams, and then that leads into playing better against the good teams, which has been a huge problem for the Giants the last couple of months, is they aren't beating anybody good, but they hadn't been beating the mediocre or the bad teams either. Now they're getting on a roll and getting some confidence going, to where if you're winning 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 11 against the bad teams, and then the Dodgers pop up on your schedule, the Padres, whoever, they've got some other games coming up, the Braves, Phillies, like all of these teams, then all of a sudden it doesn't feel like you have to. Yeah, you want to win those series, but it feels like you're playing better, you're more confident, and you do start getting some 2 out of 3s here,
right?
Or you're splitting 6 maybe against a couple of good teams, but splitting 6 against a couple of good teams is great if you're winning 9 out of 10 against the bad teams, which I still think that's a pace that they're going to have to maintain if they're going to wind up actually pulling this thing off. But last night makes you think. Not they're in it or not, but last night makes you think maybe there's something special starting to develop with them to where they can get astronomically hot down the stretch and really create some of the magic that was there last year all year,
right,
but hasn't been there except for a handful of nights here or there for 2022.
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious that the Giants don't mind playing from this type of position. I almost think they'd rather be in this position than the Padres, believe it or not. You know what I mean? The Padres, like, for the Giants to win it, they're going to get hot. You know, they're going to get hot and they're going to surge. You know, for the Padres not to win it, they're going to collapse again. So I think it's interesting, and I do think it does feel like this is kind of when you look at the Giants and something about pedigree. I think there really is something about pedigree, even though, you know, Crawford and Belt, to, you know, not having great years, but we're getting close to September. Hey, we got here's what we got going today, JD. We got a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk some Giants. May get into that Kapler interview a little bit. 49ers joint practice today in Minnesota. Oh my God, I can't believe 25 minutes has gone by. Did you hear about Trey today? Trey Lance?
Hey, good day today.
Yeah, they had a 4th and 10. Did you hear about the 4th and 10 play?
Yeah, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, but he was flushed out of the pocket,
right,
apparently. 4th and 10, they went for it. It's a big, big play this early in the season. He got pressured, JD. He rolled right, bought himself some time. Then he hit Debo Samuel over the middle for 25 yards and a first down. I mean, order the rings, JD.
It's big time.
Order the rings.
It's big time, and it leads me to believe, again, there's something that it's another, I'll say, box to be checked in terms of he's not going up against that 49ers defense, and it looks better than when he is going up against the 49ers defense from time to time. Looked better against Green Bay, I thought. I wasn't out there today, but it sounds like he was better today against another defense that's not the 49ers. I think those are, as much as we can glean anything, promising signs.
Right, right. We also got the Warriors. Their schedule, I guess, has just dropped. At some point, we will give you some of the highlights, but I what?
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, go ahead. No,
some of the highlights of the season.
Yeah, we will.
Coming up.
Yeah.
You know, and I was intrigued by that attendance thing in San Antonio that they're going to try to pull off. A little contrived, but nevertheless. By the way, if I said, I don't want to say it. I don't want to start negative. I don't want to start negative, but it actually could be a good thing. Like, I'm looking at the Warriors, and they're kind of embarking on a new era. Even though you could say the dynasty's still intact. Would you say the dynasty's still intact?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you, but this dynasty, even though it's still intact, things are going to be a lot different, I think, for the Golden State Warriors. Things are going to change. And as Neil Young said, I can't say bad or good. And then there's Lookout for Mila. 888-957. What are you shaking your head for? It's only my third day back. I'm exhausted, by the way, JD. Exhausted. Yeah.
Physically or mentally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just unbelievable. All right, we'll take a little look at the Golden State Warriors schedule, and then how do the Warriors move forward after winning their fourth title in 8 years? We'll talk about it on the other side. 95.7 The Game. I love provocation.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And Guru will be back next week. Looking forward to it. I haven't talked to Guru. I haven't really talked to him much. You know, he usually likes to keep in touch, and I'm willing to do that, but I just haven't really kept in touch with Guru. What are you up to over there? You looking at the schedule? Like, I don't have any.
Yeah,
I don't have any.
At it.
Okay, give me usually they send out the press release. I didn't see that quite yet.
Yeah,
where
it's
they
out.
Say nine back to backs.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, it's, you want some of that stuff?
Well, let me just throw something at you here. By the way, this segment sponsored by Enova International Inc. Yeah. And so I was thinking about the Warriors. Warriors schedules come out today. They have 82 games this year. And by the way, yeah, who are they only playing three times, JD?
I don't know. Okay. Yet. I haven't looked at it.
All right. So the thing that I think's interesting about the Warriors and where they're at right now, and I'm gonna acknowledge they're still the dynasty is still intact. But things are gonna be different for the Warriors. And one of the things I think is going to be a challenge for them, or something they're going to have to overcome, is some of the same things that great teams and dynasties have had to overcome, and that's like this contract situation and free agency. And Joe Lacob has basically said, you know, we got to start doing things a little differently. So I looked at the Golden State Warriors, and I see four guys here, JD. I see four guys who may need to be addressed in terms of contracts in the next 2 years. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, all right? Poole's going to be restricted at the end of next year. Wiggins is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of next year. Now we have a little bit of the monkey wrench of Draymond Green saying, hey, maybe I'm going to opt out of my player option, which could make him... This could be the final year for him under contract for the Golden State Warriors coming up. And then you got Klay Thompson for 2 years. And I'm just going to throw, I mean, they're not signing all four of those guys. He's essentially said that. He's not going to match a salary for Poole for 25 and then pay Wiggins 30 and then extend Draymond Green when that time comes and then pay Klay Thompson another 3 or 4 years at 40 or 50. Like, he's not going to do it. And the way, what's striking me, JD, I just want you to respond to this and we can hopefully start a discussion. What's striking me is they're mid-dynasty, but guys are playing for their jobs. And I'm talking about Draymond Green and Thompson a little bit. And this is where I think this is going to be an issue between Lacob and the fans and people who have opinions. I am firmly of the opinion that Joe Lacob, when he's got to make a tough decision, is going to be able to make a tough decision. And so, how can you... It's up to Wiggins, Poole, Klay, and Draymond to determine who's viable long-term. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but I still... Like,
you don't think it's that fraught with...
No, I don't.
Urgency.
I don't, because they're going to have all four of those players under contract and available this coming season. So, in essence, as Joe Lacob has alluded to, they're going to run it back beginning on October the 18th at Chase Center against the Lakers. And so they, like, that's a problem for hopefully next July. I mean, you know, after they're making another run. Like, I just, to me, there's a lot more optimism of what this year can be in running it back than being like some of these things may take care of themselves over the course of the next year. Like,
right. But okay. So he, you're right. And that, and Joe Lacob wants them to be taken care of. But what I'm saying is why, if I'm a Warrior fan, I'm looking at this saying, and I'm Guru and I'm a Warrior. I'm like, well, Poole's coming into the season. He wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins is coming into the season. He's an unrestricted free agent. Draymond Green's already talking about a max extension.
Sure.
What I'm getting at is how's this different from Krause trying to keep the Bulls together when it's impossible to keep them together? You can't keep them together. You won't be able to.
Well, you may be able to. I mean, you may be able to. I'm not going to completely rule that out and tell it. It's unlikely, but I'm also not going to go into next season with saying, well, they're not, so it's over, and just rip it apart, and everybody's going to play. Like, I'm not going to say, well, Poole's going to be selfish, and Wiggins is going to be awkward, and Draymond's going to be half pissed off all the time because he wants this or that. Like, I'm not going to say that either. Like, I think if it winds up being a scenario where they pick between Poole and Wiggins, but both play well this year. Like, I'm confident enough in what the Warriors have cooking in terms of their culture and ability to run it back to where I don't think it's negatively going to... It may end at the end of this year, but I don't think it's negatively going to impact the next year. And
What do you think the biggest theme of the Warriors' season is going to be this year? What's the theme? Can they repeat? See, to me, I mean, that's obviously a big one, but to me, it's what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the season leading up to free agency? Because I think they've got three guys who want to get paid. Actually, make it four. I'm going to throw Clay in there because Clay will be up for an extension at the end of next year, too, at the end of this upcoming season, too. So, like, I think, I just think that this is the year before the year that things break up. And when I say break up, I don't mean they're done. I don't know if they're done or not. As long as Curry's on this team, who knows? But I think Joe Lacob, in a way, would have been prepared to move off one of the big three, and now they've won it. And so he's going to come back with the big three. But I do not think he is afraid to move forward without one of them if that's what makes financial sense.
I would agree with that, but I also think he's looking at it as you got a great shot to go win another title, which would be the fifth in 9 years, and if at that point, after you've won 5 and 9, it becomes financially not viable, well, then so be it. You figure out another way to try and win maybe a little bit more cost-effectively. Like, I don't think there's necessarily a problem in viewing it that way. I guess what I'm getting at is, like, do you think it's going to negatively impact this season?
I think it's possible. And this is where I'm not creating a negative, but I'm just looking at the writing on the wall in terms of where this team is contract-wise. And they kicked Poole and Wiggins down the road, essentially, which I think is the move. And I think it's a good move, but it comes at a cost.
I would have paid Poole.
Would you really?
I would have paid Poole because I think he would be a tradable asset at a higher rate. And so I would have paid him to where he's not maybe chasing it. I don't feel like Wiggins is going to be chasing it, meaning chasing the payday, chasing the money.
Okay.
Wiggins. So right. Wiggins I would have played out as somebody that's already been paid large. I that's one where I just would have said, you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. If it contributes to winning, it'll take care of itself, Andrew, whether it's here or somewhere else. Poole, I would want to take away the young player thought process of, hey, I've already won a ring, now I got to get mine. And right. I really have to get, like, to me, I would have paid him to avoid him thinking he's got it, because he's young. Like, he didn't know what he doesn't know, and he's going to think I got to go get it in a certain way. And I think that, like, I just would have taken that off the table by choosing him. But just because you choose to pay him doesn't mean he's going to be around long term.
Exactly. You're right about that. But it's, what I think is interesting,
I would have paid him.
But I think you're not proving my point, but you're at least supplementing it in that, why would you have paid Jordan Poole? Well, so that he doesn't go into this year thinking, I got to play to get paid. So the mere fact that you were willing to do it shows that that might be a peripheral issue with Jordan Poole. Or at least it's got to be entered into the equation. I mean, for all we know, you know, Jordan Poole might be feeling some kind of way about not getting an extension.
Possible.
or getting an extension this year. But I'm just looking at the Golden State Warriors and where Draymond Green is and where Klay Thompson is in particular, and then where you are with Poole and Wiggins. And, you know, somebody right here, Stein, the biggest difference is that Krause didn't want to keep the Bulls together. Well, you're right, he didn't. But Joe Lacob doesn't necessarily want to keep the Warriors. I don't think Joe Lacob is like,
I think he wants to. He just knows that it's financially not going to be feasible in all likelihood.
Right. He's not going to give Draymond Green 4 years.
Well, I wouldn't either.
Right. And so, but Draymond wants 4 years. So, okay, something's going to happen there, right? Something coming to a head at some point.
Yeah, they also may agree to a different deal, you know, at some point. I think the notion of Draymond saying he wanted that max to me was more, hey, don't think I won't opt out. Like, to me, it was more, it wasn't about now. It was more about, let's get something done next year. if that makes
sense. Okay. No, it does. It
like,
does.
Don't think that you've just got me for 2 years automatically. I may opt out.
Right.
And therefore, we're going to have to work it out. Like, I think Draymond's smart enough to know that it wasn't going to be happening for him now.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
But you let him know now that next year we're going to have a conversation.
888-957-9570 is the number. The Golden State Warriors schedule is out. And I think Vegas has them at 53.5, 54, 55, the high side in terms of their number of wins for the season. How are you feeling about that if you're a Warrior fan? I mean, to me, the hardest thing for the Golden State Warriors, if you're a fan of theirs, JD, is to try to figure out how they're going to go about a regular season. I mean, what do you try to accomplish if you're the Warriors in the regular season? You just want it all as the third seed. So the be-all and end-all is not to win 55 or 60 games. To me, that's going to be the most fascinating part of the season, is how you try to maximize the young players with staying in the, you know, the playoff race and being at least a top four seed. But the real issue I want to know about if you're a Golden State Warrior fan is just kind of look, how do you bridge the gap? And even though the gap is starting to be bridged in terms of you won a title this past year, when I tell you Wiggins, Poole, Clay, Draymond, and I say, hey, put yourself in Joe Lacob's shoes, how do you make the determination of who you're keeping on this team and for how long? And my feeling is right now, JD, it's going to be hard to keep all four of those guys. But you don't have to make that decision right now. So, yeah, play out this year, see what Poole and Wiggins give you, and then you make a decision from there. I think that's what we're looking at. But what I'm getting at is, do you really think that will the Warriors move forward and give up on one of their younger players, and I'm talking about Wiggins here, in order to make sure that Clay or Draymond is here for the long haul?
I don't think they would do that.
And that's really
not one at the expense of the other of that. No, I mean you're saying Poole, or you're saying Kuminga,
Poole or Wiggins. I'm putting Wiggins in the young category. He's a young player.
No, but I think what happens is with Jordan Poole, it's either, hey, he needs to be allowed to go make a bunch of money and start somewhere. Like, I think you could almost do him a solid in a way, knowing that Steph and Clay are still going to be around. And maybe that's part of the calculus as to how you decide who you don't pay. I think there's another factor in that you could look at, you know, what does Kuminga and or Moody become? Does that lead you down the path to where maybe you feel like Wiggins is somebody that you would be comfortable allowing to leave? Although Wiggins is, I think, as important as anybody on the Warriors roster, just because he's that 3-4 wing with the body type that can help defend multiple positions. Like, you've seen the Warriors when they didn't have that, when they lost Durant and really didn't have anybody on the roster for a year and a half or so until they got Wiggins. That makes you really, really vulnerable in the NBA. So there's a value, true, I think, to Wiggins as well. But I don't think there's a cost benefit of one of those guys has to go because to allow Klay Thompson or Draymond Green to stay. No, they're independent, I think, of all of that.
Okay, so you're saying, in other words, under a certain situation, all four of those guys could be back.
Sure.
See, the way I look at it is, well, let's go through the progression. Warriors have a good year. I don't know if they win it or they don't win it, but they're good again. All right. What are you doing next offseason? You got Jordan Poole, who's restricted. All right, here comes a team, the Orlando Magic. We're going to make him an offer for $111 million over 4 years. Do you match that if you're the Warriors?
You might.
Okay.
You might have to.
Okay, and now Andrew Wiggins is sitting there saying, all right, I'm looking for a 3-year extension for, tell you what, Joe, give me 3 years for 33 apiece. Give me 3 years, $99 million. Can we do that, Joe?
I'd look at it.
Okay.
Of those two, but now that you're giving me the terms of both, I'd probably be more inclined to let Poole walk under those circumstances.
About 20, yeah.
Now that I know both.
See, I think letting Pua walk is a little bit dangerous, though, because he, you know, he's shown that he can help a really, really good team. But here's what I'm saying, JD. If you match a Sal, this is, and maybe Joe Lacob will prove me wrong. You match on Poole, you keep him a Warrior, you extend Wiggins, may as well say goodbye to Draymond Green at that point. And that's where you disagree with me.
Say goodbye to Draymond Green when? He's going to opt out and leave? He'll play this year.
It doesn't matter. Like, he'll either get traded the last year of his deal, or he'll play the last year of his deal, and then he's gone. But if both those guys, to me, get paid, then, no, it's not in the snap of a finger. But, yeah, Draymond's out the door.
See, and I think both those guys could get paid, and then one of those guys gets traded at some point.
But, okay, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. But then you're saying, we're going to play, you know, Draymond and Clay are going to be a big part of this thing at 34, 35 years old. You know what I mean?
And we don't know the answer as to whether they'll be capable. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe it's
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Obvious that they're not capable. I mean, that's the other part of this. Maybe it's obvious a year from now that Draymond's declining, or he decides to opt in for the final year, and by the end of the deal, it's just like, well, there's an injury or something happened. Like to me, that's why kicking the can down the road is the appropriate measure in this, because sometimes things happen that make it a no-brainer as to what the ultimate decision that you roll with is.
Right. But I do think, if you think about it this way, JD, and like, you can't hold it against Joe Lacob if he says, look, we gotta tighten the belt a little bit, because they've had the highest payroll in the NBA, for a few years now. So he's willing to pay as much as he needs to pay, but I think now he's looking at it, and you kind of referenced this before, now he's looking at it saying, well, I can't give Draymond Green 4 years because he is on the downside of his career.
Sure, but you don't have to make that ultimate determination now.
You don't, but you got to start thinking about it.
I think you're already thinking about it.
All right.
But again, what you're thinking you're going to do now isn't necessarily what you're going to do when push comes to shove.
What do you mean?
What I mean is, you may think, well, 2 years, there's no way I'm paying Draymond Green. Well, 2 years may come around and he's still helping you enough to where you do pay him. Maybe it's not more, you know, maybe it gets to the point where Draymond understands that staying the same or maybe a little bit less for an extra year or whatever. Like, I don't like it. It's not absolute, is what I'm getting at. Like, you don't have to put Draymond Green's 2024-25 in a box right now today and stick to it. Like, you could think it's going to go one way, and then by the time you get to the point where you actually have to make a decision, it could go a completely different way. 2 years is a long time.
It is, but it might only be 1 year.
It might only be 1 year.
Tony in Oakland. How you doing, Tony? What's going on, man? You want to talk some Warriors?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Doing well.
What's up, Sonny, man? I actually kind of agree with you, JD, man. In my opinion, it's all on Draymond Green's shoulders. If he opts out, he looks for a max, I can consider this season the last dance. But it's up to him. It's up to his production. And it's up to if he's willing to consider taking less years and maybe a little bit less to stay. What I've been telling people, too, is I think if he leaves, he's going to want to try to beat us 1 year and maybe team up with his little bestie now in King James and go to L.A. But I believe right now it's possible we can keep all four. But if you were to ask my opinion out of the four, not to really worry about would be Draymond Green, because Andrew Wiggins can do a lot of what Draymond Green does, and he's more athletic, and he can pass the ball, and he can get his own bucket. All right, fellas, have a good one.
Appreciate the call, Tony. JD, if I'm telling you right now, there's no decision to make. You have to. I'm telling you right now, Poole, Wiggins, Draymond, Clay, one of them's got to go in the next year. Or you know in the next year you're going to have to make a decision on one of them.
I can't make that decision now.
No, you have to.
I refuse to.
It's a trap.
I don't have to make that decision now.
I know you don't have to, but what are you predisposed to do because you know it's likely that it's going to happen?
At this point, Poole would probably be the guy that I'd be more inclined to let walk.
Wow. That's interesting to me.
At this point.
How come? He's their youngest, kind of theoretically brightest young star.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have a starting spot for him.
Okay. But it's interesting. I mean, to me, I'm looking to move on from one of the two veterans, Draymond or Klay Thompson, because I can't let Jordan Poole go when he's 23 or 24 years old at this point. As much as Draymond and Clay have meant to this organization.
And in fairness, the three-guard lineup worked well enough to where I think you could get away with playing it, maybe not in the playoffs all the time, but you can get away with it in the regular season a lot.
Right. I'm not worried about Poole's minutes. I think there's going to be plenty of minutes for those three
and
guys.
And there's a lot of minutes for playing him in place of Clay, playing him in place of Steph, if those guys need rest as they get a little bit older. So there's a value there. But there's a value also in I feel like Poole Walls could be a little easier to replace than a guy like Wiggins.
Okay.
Because so many people want wing players that are versatile and can defend, and I don't mean to put Poole's game down, but I feel you can find a couple guys. You can find a guy that can fill it up a little bit off the bench.
Right.
Because that's still his role with this team.
Yeah. Steiny, what would you do? Pick one. Don't say one
Draymond.
Of the two. Draymond. It would have to be Draymond. It would have to be Draymond. Even though I'm worried about Clay, too. But Draymond to me is the one. And one of the reasons that Draymond's got to be the guy is just because it's of who he is, too. He's, to me... He's a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Warriors don't win stuff without him. We all know that. But at some point, you know, to me, he's going to reach the point where he's not helping you like you need him to help. And he almost reached that point this past year because he was hurt for half the year. And then in the finals, he wasn't a factor for a few of the games. So, like, he's getting close, JD, to... Like, the one thing that can kill you is if and when Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green all miss 40 games, you know what I mean, in the same season.
Sure.
And I think Draymond is closer to that by far than any of the big three. That's why if I had to make the tough decision, and I know now's not the time to make it, but you better start thinking about it. I think it's got to be Draymond. 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors schedule is out. JD, you got some nuggets off that schedule you can get into?
Yeah, we could do that on the other side.
All right, let's do that on the other side. Hey, when you're happy and you know it, it's San Diego. There's no limit to how you can show it. Endless sunshine, coastline, and outdoor adventures inspire waves of feel-good vibes. Plan your trip today at sandiego.org.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.